It was just over 9 years ago that the Lokies came to be with us, and Aaron stood in this pulpit and presented a message, and we had a business meeting that follows. And Aaron has helped us grow our church. There's a lot more Lokies than when they came, and we got a whole slew of Lokies, and we're happy to have all of them. Aaron has done an outstanding job in leading our youth over the past 9 years. And tonight, Aaron's going to share something that he and I have been talking about for the last couple of years. And I know you're going to be blessed to hear from him. Aaron, come and speak for us.
Well, I'm partially embarrassed to say that I am just as nervous as I was 9 years ago, which is funny to think of how encouraging everyone has been up until this point. You know, in preparation of just trying to seek the Lord and what to share with all of you tonight, because I believe wholeheartedly that God has been doing a lot of things in the background. He always does. You know, the Holy Spirit is always moving and speaking and doing things that we aren't always aware of, so that just in the right time, just in the right place, with just the right people, things start coming together, and it begins to eliminate questions, and it really helps us have confidence in the Lord and not in man. So I'm going to do my best to share with you tonight my heart. I would hardly call this a sermon, but I am going to do my best to share with you my heart and some of the things that I believe God has led myself and my wife, our family, over these last especially these last couple of months, but even more so in the last few years. It's hard to believe that, you know, in 2005 when we came here, that's been over 9 years ago. I can remember standing here and coming in view of a call as to be the youth pastor here, and to watch the generations of students that we've had graduate over the years, and to see where they have come and where they have gone up until this point, and still have contact with many of them. It's very exciting. And I can't share with you what a privilege it has been to serve as the youth pastor in this place for that many years. It's very difficult to put into words of all of the exciting times that I've been able to be a part of. And it's an interesting thing to walk through that, but to confidently know that the Lord is leading us out of that picture and into a new picture, and be excited about that as well. You know, all I have known for the last approximately 19 years is youth ministry, okay? So when I was a sophomore in college, that's when I began my trek to do youth ministry, and really have done nothing since then other than that. And so it's all that I have ever felt called to vocationally until recently. The Lord has been speaking to us, as I mentioned earlier, and as Dr. Fannin kind of laid the groundwork last Sunday evening, for those of you who were here and were able to hear that, he referred to some of our conversations that we have had and being able to see what the Lord has done over the last several years in particular, and kind of watching, like I said earlier, where God is leading and what he is doing, and the timing is just right, and the pieces are starting to fall together for a plan and a purpose that that we are confidently walking into, one that we know little answers to. I have lots of people asking me all kinds of questions, and I'm just smiling saying, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out, you know. And that's one of the things of being able to, I want to say to you, of walking in it confidently, but also humbly, and knowing, yes, my 19 years of youth ministry has prepared me very well, I believe, in a lot of ways, to embrace and step wholeheartedly into this task. But also there's much to learn as well for myself. It's something that I see as an obvious need in our church. I'm going to be very honest with you. In a lot of the years that I've been the youth pastor, I've shared this with several different groups of people, but one of the toughest challenges of being able to do a lot of missions-oriented things has been right here in Ardmore, which has been kind of challenging. We've done about 18 mission trips over the years that I've been here. We've been in Phoenix, Arizona. We've been there twice. So I look at that and I'm like, We were there with a North American missionary, did some church planning things. I'm hearing those statistics that Monty and Nancy are putting up there on the screen going, yeah, I remember just being mowed over and blown away at the lostness of our own country, you know. But even in our own city, just seeing how there's been some challenges of being able to kind of plug in and get not just our students, but our church at large to be ever so involved in missions. And we're going to talk more about that here in just a moment. But the obvious need paired with the obvious desire. And that's part of what I want to talk to you guys about tonight. Yes, it's an obvious need, but there is an obvious desire that I can only speak to you from myself, between myself and my wife and the Lord. I can say to you that this is something we feel very passionate about, very strong about, that this bigger picture of where we're going to go tonight is something that is very much on our heart. And tonight, we're going to go ahead. Okay, we've got it up there running. Okay. Part of what I want to do is help explain some of you to what my philosophy of missions would look like. Okay, to kind of help walk you through at least when I engage with the scriptures and what I understand that the local church should be about when it comes to missions. I feel like that's part of my task and my role tonight is to help explain that in a way that will help you see the bigger picture of who we are, where we are, and where we have intentions of leading the church in the area of missions. So I'm a visual person, okay? So I learn visually, okay? And so when I began to put a lot of these things together, I began to put together something that I'm going to explain a little bit more tonight that will help put into perspective what I believe God's heart is when it comes to the church and what I believe that is our heart as well when it comes to the perspective that we should have. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is I don't know if you can tell what that image is, but it's a wheel, okay? And part of this I kind of adapted from the Navigators, which is based out of Colorado, works with collegiate ministry, things like that. It's an illustration I'm going to walk you through to kind of help explain different components of missions. I entitled tonight Missions and in Motion. Missions in Motion. In Missions Hub, we're going to talk about that a little bit more soon. But the three primary components of any kind of wheel that you're going to look at begins first and foremost with the hub. The hub is where the source of power in any kind of wheel derives from. It's what puts into motion any kind of wheel. For any potential of motion to happen, it must be completely dependent on the power source, which is first and foremost is the hub. And for us as the church, just to zoom in a little bit more on that, I want you to help see clearly that the power source is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? It is what drives us. It is what propels us. It is what compels us. It is what calls us into the mission field, being his messengers of reconciliation, those who have been entrusted with the gospel to go and proclaim the good news to those that we're around, that all of the outward motion will only be as powerful as the centerpiece, meaning Jesus himself. John chapter 15:5, very familiar passage. I could read through all that and preach through that tonight, but verse 5, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing," right? When we remain in Jesus, the end result is that we're going to bear fruit, right? And I believe that part of bearing fruit is seeing people called out to live what God has placed inside of us, to be missional wherever we go. And I realize, just as myself has been called to vocational ministry, many of us are called to be vocational ministers. But generally speaking, all of us are called to be ministers as well in our daily lives. And I believe missions is encompassed in that. All of us are called to be very missional in our everyday lives. So we bear fruit. Missions is part of that. The task that we have been called to as a church is really, it's one message, is it not? I think we have a lot of messages and we have a lot of good things to say, a lot of helpful things to promote and be about. But ultimately, when it all comes down to it, whether we are handing out a glass of cold water or we are raking someone's leaves in their yard or we're washing someone's car or we're doing some sort of act of love, as the church, does it not point to a deeper, more significant meaning, Jesus himself? One message. I believe many pathways. I believe many avenues. I believe many platforms. We look in this room here tonight, and I see many people that I love and I know and I've known for a long time, but I also see the platforms that each of you have in the community and in our state and possibly even across the world. Platforms meaning your avenues, your pathways, the things that make you you, the things that that are your makeup, that they're your giftings, your talents, the things that you're passionate about, using those things as a platform, yes, to meet a need, but ultimately to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to make him known and to make the gospel known. The gospel meaning the centerpiece. And that's what I want to make sure you understand when we talk about the hub, meaning Jesus and the gospel is the centerpiece to every missional thought, every missional endeavor that we pursue as a church. I think about everything that we have done missionally from our youth ministry standpoint over the last 9 years. The gospel's the centerpiece. There's a lot of different platforms that we were able to stand on, a lot of bizarre, weird things that we've done over the last 9 years. But the gospel was never compromised. It was the forefront of our heart. And finding pathways to make the gospel known requires an element of creativity, to say the least, at times. But it always goes back to Jesus. John 15:5 again, apart from him, we can do nothing. All power derives from him. In Colossians chapter 1, we see in verses 15 through 20, where it says, in Jesus, all things hold together. It's right there in the middle of that passage. Also in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, we see where it says, in him we live and move and have our being. And so we must understand that Jesus is the hub. He is the power source when it comes to our efforts missionally. Okay? Now, we're going to move on and talk about the spokes. Okay? The second component to any wheel is going to be the spokes. All right? They are what connects the power source to the outer wheel. And in order for a wheel to operate properly, one important factor is that your spokes are equally balanced. If there's not equal balance to the spokes, it's going to be out of line. It's not going to operate and function the way that it should. What you see when it comes to these spokes, and we're going to break them down here in a little bit more, these are areas, overarching areas that I feel like are leaping off the page of this job description and leaping off the page of our hearts and saying these are the areas of attention that need needs attention when it comes to things that we are passionate about. Now, we're going to move on to the first spoke. It's all about education, okay? When it comes to educating our church, this is something that I believe is very important when it comes to finding any kind of setting where myself or any of our especially our pastoral staff, but myself, especially in the area of missions, I would love to be invited in to come into Sunday school classes or departments, even with families or individuals. Okay, to help bring about a sense of awareness of what is being done when it comes to missions. and what is being done right here in Ardmore with Mission Ardmore. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute with our association, the Enon Baptist Association, to be an educator of those things that are taking place, that are ongoing all of the time, things that are happening across our state, that are happening in the context of our convention, and the missional things that are happening on a state level and also on an international level as well. A lot of it would entail some of the education about the cooperative program, which is just incredible. I early fell in love with the cooperative, and let me just tell you this as a side note. Most of the things that I wrote papers about when I was in college was nothing that I really fell in love with. But I can remember one of the few papers that I wrote about was an entire paper on the cooperative program, what it is, why it is, how it works, and all these different things. Just being mesmerized and just amazed at how God has taken this and being able to do such great things to advancing the gospel and empowering those who are feeling called to be missionaries. So an education about cooperative program, certain types of special offerings that we may have, such as the Lottie Moon offering, Annie Armstrong, Edna McMillan, things like that, okay? And just bring about education and awareness. Bring about resources. And I think about the resources that we have right here at our own fingertips. I would love to see more of a representation of maybe something like a missions fair that might could happen annually, where we have some things that are set up that are very informative, but also gets people plugged in and tied in and connected to be able to serve. I also think of things like I think we use the term a data bank or something like that on the front end. Say a new member comes and joins the church and they want to know where to serve. We're really good when it comes to getting people to serve on an in-reach sort of thing with our church. Oh, you can serve here in Awana. You can serve here in a Sunday school department, things like that. It's a little bit more difficult sometimes trying to get people connected to the right person or the right place when you're talking about outreach types of things. So on the front end, I would love to see a missions data bank, something that would be available for the average common church member or new member to come in and say, man, I want to serve and I want to serve in our community or I want to serve globally. Where do I go? What do I need to know? That I would be able to bring about a level of education for that, and possibly in the form either through conversations, through visual aids, through our website and different kinds of things like that. I also think about prayer strategies. Okay, there's so many things in my mind. I think about prayer strategies for unreached people groups and making those things aware. We have so many different people groups all throughout the world that we may never be able to go to. We may be able to send money to, but we being educated on ways that we can spend time in prayer for these groups would be crucial. Being able to create some visual spaces throughout our facilities, I think, would be helpful when it comes to giving giving some sort of components to missions that people could stop and look, either just some designated areas that would be informative, that would be helpful, and would be fresh and changed out often to just bring about, again, sort of an awareness. So the first spoke has everything to do with education. Okay, that's really a huge part of my heart, would be making sure everyone is aware of all of the resources that are available. The second thing has more to do with equipping, okay? This is equipping the leader, all right? And when I talk about the leader, I'm being a little bit more specific of who the leader is. To a degree, we as believers and followers of Christ, we are all leaders in our own entities, are we not, in our own platforms. But I'm speaking primarily to what we would love to develop would be a missions task force, okay, which would be made up primarily of the key leadership of a lot of our Mission Ardmore folks, okay, some of our key leadership of some of those different designated missions that are going on locally, but also some things that are beyond as well. To be able to come alongside our lay leadership, okay, and to be able to bring about some encouragement and some support to them, a staff support, an ear to listen to, someone who can brainstorm with them to be a representative of the staff of our church to say, hey, I'm going to come alongside you and I'm going to help make what you do more efficient, more effective, the best that I know how, so that we can help take that to another level. It has to do with nurturing. It has to do with growing. It's providing ministry training. Okay. I love the fact that we have a lot of lay leadership that are serving in a lot of our Mission Ardmore things already. I would love to bring in more training specifically just for them to provide those kinds of resources, to provide some also some lines of communication that are more clear and some accountability as well for those different groups, to be able to have someone, again, that's a point person, someone to answer to here at the, on staff at our church. Also to help them discover new ways for people to plug in and serve. Okay, to help them to be able to sit back and say, okay, these are the things that we have done for possibly 5, 10, 15 years. Let's look at it and maybe not go in and change much of anything, but look at it from a fresh perspective and say, what are some ways we can get more people involved to come in and to serve? Some of this will be ongoing. Some of this will be annually. Some of it might be monthly, things like that. I think about possibly a leadership retreat or something for this specific group, okay? And so this is not everyone that's involved in the local missions. This would be the key leadership. I want you to understand this might be only one or two people that represent each of the different entities underneath the umbrella of Mission Ardmore specifically, okay? All right, let's keep going. The third thing that I think is a huge need, okay, and I'm very passionate about, has to do with the church at large, okay? So we're moving from education, we're moving from the key leadership, and now we're kind of talking a little bit more in broader terms when it comes to engaging the world. This has more to do with mobilizing the church and helping position the church to be who God has called us to be outside of the walls of this place. Okay? And just helping be a conduit, helping be an avenue and a pathway in order for that to happen. I think that will happen best by training, leading, and sending individuals, families, and teams outside of these walls. And I'm going to say that again, because it's kind of a mouthful there, okay? Training, leading, and sending individuals, families, and teams outside of these walls. By recruiting, facilitating, and coordinating volunteers. And one of these kinds of things where I am not the key person doing all of the volunteer recruiting, because it might fail miserably if that's the case, but helping inspire and motivate other people who can help in the recruiting process as well. I would love to partner with some events that are going on in our city. Being down at the youth building all the time, I mean, it's amazing how much trash I see there on Main Street after big citywide events that happen. It seems like all the time in the Central Park area, up and down Main Street. And if I'm not trying to drive through it to get down to the youth building for some reason, I see all the remnants of it that's left over right there in front of the youth building. How great would it be for a church family to come in and say, hey, you know what? Whatever the event is, we're going to mobilize some of the people from our church, and we don't want any recognition for it, but we're going to clean up after the whatever it may be. Just using an example, because there are some great citywide events, and I think that we could come in alongside quietly and underneath, again, with the gospel as the centerpiece of saying, we're going to serve you as our community and as our city in hopes to, again, further the kingdom and the love of God. I would love to plan at least one international mission trip a year, also one national or domestic mission trip a year. Again, a lot of this has to do with engaging and penetrating into the world that we are in each and every day as God's church. Okay, so that's a little bit about what the engaging the world has as far as the spoke. The last spoke is all about executing the plan. This one, for many people, it would be boring. To me, it's kind of exciting. I kind of nerd out a little bit and get excited about administration type stuff, okay? I enjoy that. Management has a lot to do with the behind the scenes type of things, because anybody who knows anything about anything significant, if you have a master plan that you want to see happen, such as what we're talking about when it comes to putting missions in motion, there has to be a great amount of management and a great amount of administration that happens behind the scenes. Managing, again, a volunteer base. Managing a task force base. Managing our budget base when it comes to budget dollars that we have as a church has been entrusted for us to use missionally. And by managing these areas well, the plan that God gives us, I believe, may be executed. So that's mostly of what that last one has to do with. Now, we'll move on. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the exterior, meaning the wheel. Okay, this is kind of the end result. I think when we think about missions, we often think about these categories. We just kind of think in general, broad terms about the visible, the measurable types of things, okay? Because the outer wheel is really the end result. It's kind of the locations that we're going to. The ultimate goal, I believe, is to have what I'm going to use as healthy geographical balance, okay? Because I think that we do need to have balance when it comes to the areas that we focus on, that we, whether it be sending missionaries, whether it be sending prayer support, financial support, God has called us as a church to be all about all of the world. How this will unfold, at least in my mind, okay, I could share with you what I think about how it will unfold and how it should unfold. A few words came to my mind. First of all, it's got to be progressive, okay, which means we start where we are. Okay, I think most of our time, our energy and attention, it must begin locally right here in Ardmore. I believe it's biblical when we look at Acts 1:8, and as Dr. Fannin talked a little bit about last week, we see a model that's scriptural, okay, but it will be progressive in nature, that it will ultimately build out from that point. I think about the word methodical, okay? I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, okay? I realize that, and I do think a lot. Dr. Fannin tells us all the time that we're thinkers, man. We think all the time. And I realize a large part of this job, especially in the early stages, it would be being methodical. It would be, the third word is being purposeful, okay? Not just going places to go places to even to do good things for people, but there's got to be a lot of purpose-driven nature in a lot of the things that we're doing in our endeavors. Does that make sense? I probably butchered that, but I hope that helps you understand a little bit about what my thoughts are. Okay, and so we'll break the wheel down. It kind of goes out from here. We talk about Ardmore again, more specifically, to be actively involved in the planning and the coordinating and the leading of mission efforts in our own city, okay, through channels such as Mission Ardmore and all of the different entities that are underneath the umbrella of Mission Ardmore, which there are many. There are quite a few. I know that some of the ones that get most of the attention that we talk about more often, things like Celebrate Recovery that happens on Thursday nights, like our Saturday night downtown mission. We also talk about that frequently. And our Loaves and Fishes ministry that we have that's located here on our campus. But there are so many other entities as well, okay? And, you know, many of you know that we're possibly and prayerfully heading down a road with our Loaves and Fishes mission to be able to do some things and expand some things in the fall to do some things that are going to be on a broader scale, okay? They're very exciting, and we're in the beginning stages of just praying through that and what that will look like. But that's just one component of many when it comes to Ardmore. Second of all, when it comes to Oklahoma, and in Ardmore, I would say also, again, through our association, okay, I think about Enon Association, I think about Robert Wilson, a man that I love and that we're all about, and his heart, and through the association channels, be able to do some things regionally through this area that would be a little bit more intentional with plugging our people in. I think about Oklahoma, again, I think about our convention, I think about the BGCO and a lot of the things that are set up for us to be able to plug into. Okay, I think about disaster relief types of stuff. I don't know how to operate a chainsaw, but my goodness, I need to go learn, right? I think about things that we can do, that we can prep our people well, whether it be natural disasters or feeding, being able to feed a warm meal to some group in need that might be in need in a desperate time. But also a lot of church planters all over the state of Oklahoma that we may have a near heart and a close ear to at some point down the road if the Lord leads, but someone who will be able to kind of monitor that and oversee that in our state. I think also in terms of national, again, domestic, and I think primarily through the channels of the North American Mission Board, primarily because that's most of what I'm familiar with, that I'm aware of, okay? And so being able to partner and come alongside and plan some mission endeavors through channels such as the North American Mission Board, and also just to go on to the International Mission Board as well. It's the same concept. Would there be secondary partnerships that we may have? There may be down the road, you know, that might not go strictly through the channels of North American Mission Board or the IMB, but these are the ones that I'm most familiar with. And so I think that that's initially progressively where we would begin. Lastly, I want to just, I don't even know if you can see that. Can you see that? I can barely see it. Okay. I do want to share this with you. And when I say the word our there, I want to believe that this is kind of the heartbeat of where God is leading us as a church. This will be kind of the beginning stages of somewhat of a mission statement, at least for me, which probably will change over time. But it states this. Our goal is to help position the church to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ by making disciples of all nations. We believe that when Jesus is the central driving force of power in our lives, and when we give equal balance to educate the church, equip the leaders, engage the world, and execute the plan, the end result will be to see missions in motion all across our city, our state, our country, and our world. And When I think about this as a strategy, again, going back to the wheel, it's a strategy that provides power, it provides balance, and it provides motion, which I think are things that our church desperately wants to be involved in. We want Jesus to be the driving force. We want balance in our attention and in our dollars and our commitment level, but ultimately also we want to see motion, we want to see movement, and we want to see engagement happening. I would share this with you in closing. Things that I would say that we need is to know this, that this is an entire movement that I believe is aimed not just toward me, but toward our church. The more I begin to think about what this position could entail, this is something that we all need to step into together. In other words, I'm not up here wanting to be on an island saying, hey, I think this is a good thing that we should consider doing. This is something that all of us as a church needs to be ready to put one step in front of the next and step forward with an answer of yes, because I realize that it impacts every person in our church. I know we need prayer. Okay, we need prayer to be led by the Holy Spirit, not just in the decision that will be made tonight regarding this position, but ultimately where this goes from this point forward. We need patience. Okay, I think about progress will happen, but I believe that it will probably most likely be slow progress where a foundation is laid, and it may take some time for that. We need flexibility. Okay. And when I say flexibility, and the reason why we need flexibility is because we're all about to be stretched, okay? We're about to be stretched to do some things that are a little bit out of the norm of what we're used to, okay? So flexibility, we need confidence and trust in the Lord, and not in a man, and not in a staff, and not in the church at large, but ultimately in the Lord's leadership. And lastly, I would say, we need your support. We need your support as a church, and that spans every age group from children as young as mine and younger to the older generations in our church. That spans from this crowd that may meet in our sanctuary to the Fusion crowd to every Sunday school class, department, and family that meets in between. This is something I believe God is calling all of us to step forward in together. But to be supportive, not on the sidelines, but to get in the game with us, okay? And every person, I think, to a degree, can and should be involved missionally, regardless of whether it's locally or globally. I think every person who calls himself a follower of Christ needs to be engaged in some sort of missional outlet. And that's my goal, is to help provide a streamlined vision and a streamlined approach for that to happen for the church at large, to be streamlined under one vision, under one funnel, and under one, what I would call a hub. That's why I use the word hub also, is because when I think about the word hub, I think that it is the central gathering point for a lot of ideas, a lot of movement, a lot of action. And what I'm wanting to propose is that we, and it's not found in a person as much as it is found in a philosophy and a thinking that our church has to go to, that we will come to this hub and we will realize that Jesus is our power source and he will drive us to the places that he calls us to go.